This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
What's up, Team No Tea, and welcome back to Unwrapped. It's your girl, Tasha Pierce, bringing you commentary from that fabulous intersection of pop culture and common sense. So we're going to dive into something that made me raise an eyebrow, then maybe both eyebrows, and a whole nother set of eyebrows. Y'all, I had to borrow a whole different person for them eyebrows to get raised. You might have been seeing these headlines floating around this story about the U.S. Naval Academy and their library. Now, libraries, y'all, they're supposed to be these bastions of knowledge, right? Places where you can find anything and everything and expand your mind, challenge your perspectives. That is the idea. But apparently for some time, the Naval Academy decided some books needed a little vacation from the shelves. We're not just talking a few, we're talking almost 400 books initially removed from their libraries. And the reason? A Pentagon memo about divisive concepts related to, of course, diversity, race, and gender. Yeah, you heard that right. Diversity, race, and gender is a divisive concept. Now listen, when I first saw it, and anytime I see something like this, my common sense meter starts blaring louder than a Houston heat wave in August. Because what exactly are divisive concepts when it comes to books on history, identity, and the human experience? Are we talking about literature that promotes critical thinking? We're talking about discussions around systemic issues, or just anything that makes someone, quote unquote, someone uncomfortable? Because growth, true growth, often comes from a place of discomfort. Am I right? Now, the initial removal of these books, which included titles, horrible titles, ranging from things on the Holocaust to civil rights history to even, get this, Maya Angelou's I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. That's not just a shelving decision. That is a statement, y'all. And it's a statement that, from my perspective, I'm a 52-year-old woman. I know history, and I believe in knowing our history, all of it. That statement felt like a step backwards. It felt like an attempt to sanitize education, to control the narrative for the minds of our future military leaders. And let me tell you, controlling narratives by limiting information That is not how we build strong, adaptable, or understanding leaders. That is how you build people who are ill-equipped for a complex world, but quite simply built for controlling. Now, the good news, if we can call it that, is that after some new review using those same Pentagon search terms, which, sidebar, who developed these terms? I know it wasn't Hegseth, but it could have been Hegseth, right? Anywho, that's a whole nother conversation for a whole nother day. Almost all of those 381 books have been returned. Almost. About 20 still need to be removed, according to a defense official. And that's still something to chew on. Why those 20? What's the criteria? See, this is where I like when I be talking about tea. This is where the tea stops and we start unwrapping. It's not just about the headline. It's about the ideology behind the action. It's about the philosophy of what kind of education we deem appropriate for our military and, frankly, for society at large. This isn't about drama for drama's sake. This is about what we value. Do we value full, unvarnished looks at our world with all of the complexities, like its triumphs and its ugly, ugly truths? Or do we prefer a curated, comfortable version? I believe that we deserve the full picture. Our military leaders, who will serve a diverse nation and operate in a diverse global landscape, need the full picture. For me, this story is a prime example of doing it for the culture, y'all. Our culture, our shared understanding is built on knowledge, on open dialogue, and on confronting realities, not running from them. When facts are available, I share them. And I usually tell you what I think versus what I know. And today, what I know is that limiting access to diverse voices and perspectives does a huge disservice to everyone. And this is why I do what I do, because we need voices of reason from all backgrounds in this cacophony of noise. We need to be able to talk about these things, the scandals, the ideologies, the philosophies, without losing the fun of critical thinking, learning, and engaging with the world around us as it is, and sometimes as we hope it can be. This is about bringing a grounded, common sense, and yes, sometimes Black, Brown, Indigenous perspective to stories that impact us all. And let me be crystal clear, in case you didn't get it from the first intro to this story, book bans are never a good idea. Not at the Naval Academy, not in public schools, not at your local library, and definitely not in communities that are already fighting to have their voices heard. See, the problem with banning books isn't just about the physical removal of paper and ink. It's about silencing lived experiences. It's about controlling the narrative of who gets to matter and what parts of history are worth remembering. But here's the truth, y'all. Banning books is not about protecting people. It's about protecting power. You ever notice how it's always the same kind of books getting snatched off the shelves? Books about race, gender, sexuality, resistance, or anything that paints America in a light other than the land of the free, home of the brave. That's not a coincidence. That is strategy. And not the kind that makes you smarter. The kind that keeps you in the dark. That's what kind of strategy this is. And if we're being real, and you know I always try to keep it real with you, Book bans don't make kids safer. They make them less prepared to walk in the real world. The real world where people don't all look the same, love the same, believe the same, vote the same. Hell, we need critical thinkers, not programmed robots. We need people who can recognize injustice, not ignore it because they never read about it, learned about it, heard about it in school. Look, when we grew up, yes, I'm going there, boomer-ish. When we grew up, reading the autobiography of Malcolm X, we would read those kinds of books under the covers with a flashlight. I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings was something that was influential to many a person and didn't just see Maya's story when we read those. I saw pieces of my own. These books didn't corrupt me. They completed me. They gave me language for my own pain. They gave me strength. And imagine telling a kid today that they don't deserve that. Their story is too political. That their identity is too divisive. Baby, please. Borrowing books is a very lazy solution to a problem that does not exist. If you're scared a book might make someone uncomfortable, maybe it's because that book is speaking a truth that's been ignored for far too long. Maybe the discomfort is the point. Growth is not supposed to feel like a massage. They don't call it growing pains for nothing. Sometimes growth feels like a slap in the face. But we come out on the other side stronger. And if you're really worried about what young minds are exposed to, don't police their books. Teach them how to question what they read. Teach them how to think critically, how to challenge ideas, how to compare perspectives. That is what real education looks like. That's how we build a generation that can lead with empathy and wisdom, not fear and control. So let's say it with a chest, y'all. Book bans are not about morality. They are about manipulation. They're not protecting kids. They're protecting systems that benefit from silence. And I don't know about y'all, but silence ain't never saved a soul.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
All right, y'all, before we keep it moving, let me take a second to show some love and handle a little bit of business. So if you're feeling what I'm doing over here on Unwrapped, from our occasional pop culture deep dive to real talk about what's going on in this world, make sure you subscribe so you never miss a drop. Want to take it a step further? You can support the show by becoming a patron over on patreon.com/TashaPierce. That's how I keep this thing independent and authentic. Plus, every dollar helps keep the mic hot, the research deep, and the content consistent. A huge shout out to my current patrons. You already know. I see you. I appreciate you. Thank you for riding with me. And if you want to keep the conversation going or drop a tip, a question, story idea, you can always hit me up at tashaisunwrapped@proton.me. Also, come find me on Blue Sky. at Tasha is Unwrapped over there as well. That's where I post updates, thoughts, and random nerdy-ish between episodes. All right, commercial over. Let's get back to it. Now, if we really want to talk about book bans and pop culture, we have to bring up Fahrenheit 451. That book wasn't just about burning pages. It was about burning ideas. Ray Bradbury warned us. He laid it all out like a sci-fi prophecy. In his world, people weren't just banned from reading. They were numbed, distracted, entertained into oblivion. Does that sound familiar? I mean, let's be real. We live in a world where folks would rather scroll TikTok for 2 hours than read 2 pages of Stamped from the Beginning. And don't get me wrong, I love me some scroll therapy too. But when we lose the ability to sit with information, to wrestle with hard truths, to let that shit breathe, when we lose the ability to engage with history beyond what we were spoon-fed in high school, that's when we get played. That's when authoritarianism starts creeping in through the back door, quite slick, wearing a smile and whispering, "We're just protecting the children." But ask yourself, protecting them from what exactly? The books that you're banning? You're not banning TV series. You're not banning stuff on social media. You want to ban books. Books like The Handmaid's Tale, they weren't written for shock value. Margaret Atwood said everything in that book was inspired by something real, some policy or regime or church doctrine that actually existed. So when that book starts getting pulled from the shelves, especially where we are watching women's rights get stripped away in real time, that's not a coincidence. That's a warning sign flashing in bright red. Danger, Will Robinson, danger. And let's talk about what's happening right now in Texas, where I live, and in places like Florida. Politicians are trying to out-ban each other like it's a fucking contest. Some school boards have banned books about Ruby Bridges, y'all. Ruby Bridges, a child who integrated schools. They're not banning violence. They're banning resilience. And that tells me everything I need to know. They want the version of history where everything got better after Martin Luther King said, "I have a dream," and racism just magically packed up and was like, "Well, this dude is dreaming. We gotta go." But that is not real. That's not how any of this works. Because if it worked like that, then Martin would still be with us. Am I right? So when we allow this censorship to slide, when we shrug it off like, "Well, at least no, most of the books were put back," we're giving up ground. We're letting the most fearful, least informed, ignorant voices control the narrative. And you know what's wild? The folks leading these bans always scream about freedom, but freedom ain't freedom if it only applies to your comfort zone. If your idea of freedom means suppressing mine, that ain't freedom. That's domination. That's old school Jim Crow energy in a new school rapper. Y'all, I know this is heavy, and I know sometimes it feels like screaming into the void, but I also know this. Every single movement that ever changed the world started with someone who read something that opened their eyes. Somebody read the souls of Black folk and started asking questions. Somebody read The Fire Next Time and found their voice. Somebody read Beloved and understood trauma in a whole new way. Somebody read Parable of the Sower and started preparing for a world they could build, not just survive in. Books are seeds, and they grow different in every mind they're planted in. That is the beauty. That's the power. And that's why they're trying to bury them. But you know what they say, right? They tried to bury us. They didn't know we were seeds. And as seeds, what do we do about this? Because you know how we get down over here. We don't just think about it. We be about it. And yeah, it's easy to feel like this is a fight that's just too big for one person. What can one person do against a system that's out here banning Maya freaking Angelou? Well, let me tell you something. The system counts on us feeling helpless. That is part of the plan. That is part of the strategy. But they forgot one thing. We don't just survive. We thrive. We organize. We mobilize. We raise hell in the name of justice. We get in good trouble. So here is some real world good trouble steps that you could take to push back on all of this mess. Number one, you need to know what's happening in your local schools. Yes, book bans usually start very quietly at the school board level. That's where the most damage happens, and a lot of folks don't even know that it's going down. Find out what books are being challenged in your district. Look at your school board's agenda. If you got kids, ask them what books are missing from their curriculum. Then, when it's time for those meetings, we need you to be there. We need you to speak up in person or in writing if you must. And you don't have to be a professional speaker. Hell, I'm not. Just tell your truth. Tell them what those books meant to you. Tell them what it means when you erase authors like Toni Morrison or Andrew Thomas or George M. Johnson. You don't need a degree to defend your humanity. I don't have one. You just need a mic or a pen. Then we need you to support banned book projects. Groups like the Banned Books, Banned Books Week Coalition, Pan America, Unite Against Book Bans, those organizations are doing the work. Donate if you can. Signal boost their efforts. Even start a banned book club. Now that is planting a seed. Do that virtually or in person. Turn what they tried to silence into a movement that makes noise. And then read the banned books. Share the banned books. Make it a personal mission, especially if you're a parent. Read with your children, not for them. Read with them. Discuss the hard stuff. Help them build the mental muscle to think critically, not to just repeat what you're telling them or what someone else is telling them. Because the future belongs to the folks who can handle complexity, not just comfort. It's comfortable to rearticulate what somebody else has already told you. Starts getting complex when you start making your own mind up about what you've read or what's been read to you. And of course, in 2025, what would we be if we weren't making noise online? You know we live in a viral world. So use your platforms if you have one. If you got Instagram, Blue Sky, Facebook, your group chats, whatever. Highlight the bans. Tell somebody who didn't know that these bans were happening. Let them know that they're happening. Share your favorite quotes from banned books. Make a reel. Make a TikTok. Make a TikTok. A meme. Whatever. Whatever is your flavor. Visibility matters. And when enough of us shine light on this, the roaches run, y'all. The roaches fucking run. And of course, I wouldn't be Tasha if I wasn't going to tell you that the 2026 election is the most important of our lifetimes. And that's if we get a free and fair election. It is the most important of our lifetime. Presidential elections matter. Yes, absolutely. But don't sleep on those local races. Your school board, your city council, your library board. Those folks have real power over what your kids in your community can access. So research. Show up. Bring friends. Make it a whole cookout if you have to. As a matter of fact, I recommend, but do not sit out the next elections. Specifically, 2026, your local and state, and then who we are sending up to Congress. Don't sleep on that election. Look, they're trying to rewrite our history so they can control our future. But the pen is still in our freaking hands. And as long as we've got voices, as long as we've got platforms, and as long as we've got each other, they can't ban that, y'all. They can't ban that. So read loud, share louder, and never, ever, ever let them tell you your story doesn't belong on the shelf. So if you're writing a book, keep writing. Tell your truth, baby. Let your voice be heard. You are important because I said so. And you better know it. I dropped knowledge today, y'all. Did not spill tea. Even though, as much as I don't like spilling tea, I would never ever tell you to ban the tea spillers. No. I believe that we deserve so much more than just tea. I want you to expand your mind, y'all. I want you to keep your mind open. Share what you learn. Get activated. Get angry. Fight like hell. This has been Tasha Pierce from Unwrapped, and I'll see you in the next one. Thanks for hanging with me. Peace.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.